Take it off, take it in, take off all the thoughts of what we've been. Take a look, hesitate, take a picture you could never recreate. Not a song, make a note.
And welcome to the Sarcastic News Show. My name is Justin Cross, and I am in stunned disarray. Stunned disarray. Shock and awe to be with you live from Skid Row Studios in the heart of LA's Crack Ho District. I'm here with Sarcastic News contributor, a good friend of mine, Jake the Snake Craney.
What's up, everybody? Good to be here.
Oh, Jake is filling in as executive producer tonight, and right on time, literally walking in the door right now, Sarcastic News contributor Michael Lorenzo Porter, fresh off a recent day bender. Also, not to be remiss, joining us, he will be joining us via the Jack in the Box Hot Mess phone line, our beloved producer, Matt Sugar Mills, a.k.a. Matt Nasty, as they call him on the streets. They being his close friends and family, streets meaning the upper middle class neighborhood in Connecticut that he grew up in. Now, I'm glad that you guys are tuning in. I can promise you, this is truly going to be, guys, one of our best ever Sarcastic News shows. Mind you, this is only our second ever Sarcastic News Show.
I'd say it'll be in the top two. I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Here's the real question. Is it going to be a gold or silver medal performance? We've only got two options there, but it's going to be one of them. It's going to be one of them. As we mentioned last week, Sarcastic News is the most trusted name in bullshit. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, our website, sarcastic-news.com. It's facebook.com/sarcasticnews1, twitter.com/sarcasticnews1 as well. And on iTunes. Yeah. On iTunes. We're there too. Just search Bukkake and you'll find it. No, I'm kidding. Search Sarcastic News. We're on there as well. And, we're glad to be here in, Skid Row Studios. On today's show, we have special guest brewmaster and beer savant, Chris Bowley will be joining us. I can't wait. He will be telling us about the nuances of getting drunk. But first up, we begin tonight with the ongoing saga of the crazy North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un. And more importantly, Kim Jong-un's hair. Last week, we delved into the nuances of the situation itself, but holy shit, we got to talk about his hair. I mean, I just want to know, did the dude just walk into a Supercuts and was like, hey, could I go for like a zero guard on the sides and the Zach Morris up top? You know, something that just really accentuates my inability to grow facial hair on my double chin. Seriously, folks, I just want to know, like, did he shoot the crack before he put his name on the waiting list, or did he wait until the barber had the clippers in his hand? By the way, I'm sorry. Is it, like, I don't know if the guy's trying to go hipster, if he's trying to go 90s. I'm thinking maybe hipster, you know? Maybe that's what this whole thing's all about. Like, these nuclear launches into South Korea and the U.S., it's really just code for, I'm trying to fit in, but unfortunately, my country just, we've got an embargo against Pabst Blue Ribbon and skinny jeans. I'm starting to feel like Dennis Rodman could actually be a good ambassador to North Korea. Because I feel like that's all Un wants. Like, he just wants someone from the mid-90s who seems cool. And if you think about it, it could be mutually beneficial for us. I mean, we could send Vanilla Ice over there, Blossom, Reeboks pumps, rice necklaces, Joey Lawrence, turtlenecks, Martin Lawrence. Think about Lisa Frank pencils, JNCOs. We can ship Tim Allen over there. Maybe Pogs, Bongo Jeans, Andy Lawrence. Really just the Lawrence brothers. Chelsea Clinton, Chumbawamba, Martin Lawrence, Lawrence Taylor, Gushers.
Dunkaroos.
By the way, I love Dunkaroos.
So good.
And I actually love Gushers too. But seriously, think about it. America could take over North Korea. Just think about it. If we just donated all of our mid-90s pop icons and crappy trends, that could be good for us. We could acquire a country. We just need Un to keep the whole Zachary Ty Bryan look going. That monologue just took a huge drop right there. Like, nobody, like, three people of our six audience members were like, who the fuck is Zachary Ty Bryan?
One person out there got that, and they loved it.
Hey, from Tool Time or what?
Yeah, he was in Tool Time. Exactly. He had the Kim Jong-un haircut. In other happenings this week, Margaret Thatcher died. That's it.
Do we have a crickets soundbite?
Well, I feel like people are like, who's Margaret? Like, no, Margaret Thatcher is not the Queen of England. All right. In case you don't know, Margaret Thatcher was the Prime Minister of the UK from 1979 to 1990. She was known as the Iron Lady because, according to many engrossed in the UK political scene during the 80s, she was an uncompromising bitch. Her time in office was controversial. Okay, she was a cutter. Yeah, she cut income taxes, higher education, milk subsidies to the poor, and also performed circumcisions on newborns. I'm kidding. That was Tim Tebow. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Nonetheless, though, while some throughout the UK actually celebrated Thatcher's death, they actually celebrated her death with chants, songs, spontaneous street parties. Others are mourning the death. And while sad that Thatcher is gone, one of her close friends actually said that Thatcher, minus Betty White, was looking forward to rejoining the cast of The Golden Girls. And now it's time for a segment we call Fun Control. You have to do it in a gay voice.
Do
oh, wait.
You, do you, or do you just like to do
I
that?
Just, oh, I'm sorry. It says gun control. Never mind. That's not fun. I read that wrong. The F is right by the G. This week, a couple senators agreed that background checks make sense. This was a landmark precedent that made headlines because Democrats and Republicans just don't agree on shit these days, even when a majority of Americans do. The landmark agreement between Democrat Joe Manchin and Republican Pat Toomey is great, but it actually did nothing except set the table for an even more watered-down version of gun legislation that is set to go through both the House and the Senate, which very well could result in a universal ban against Nerf super soakers. Both Republicans and Democrats are nervous about the outcome of the final bill. This is you got to understand, this is political risk because it may very well alienate the super soaker base, 7-year-olds. In sports this week, the Louisville Cardinals men's basketball team won the NCAA title, while the UConn Lady Huskies won another one as well. Now, this was, if you weren't paying attention, this was the 8th NCAA title for Huskies coach Gino Auriemma, and also the 2nd for Cardinals head coach Al Pacino.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
You knew it was coming, but still good. And the first major on the PGA Tour began today, the Masters. Oddsmakers have Tiger Woods as a 7-2 favorite to win his 5th green jacket, which would be his first since 2005. Tiger vowed to win this one for the new love of his life, skier Lindsey Vonn. And if he wins, Tiger said that he promises to remain completely loyal to her and the 3 dominatrix whores hidden in his Lincoln Navigator. Guys, we have a great show coming up for you. Jake the Snake with Jake the Snake with news trivia coming up next. So stay tuned right here on Sarcastic News. That's a good song right there. I like that.
Absolutely.
Who is that, Snake?
That is Bastille.
Bastille.
Yeah, from England.
Wow, I like them. I like them. Actually, all music tonight is brought to us by the wonderful website Ground Sounds. Jake the Snake, you're one of the founding partners of Ground Sounds. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I started working there about 6 months ago, and it's basically a music website that focuses on up-and-coming musicians such as Bastille, whom you might not have heard of, but make really good music. And we try to highlight a lot of those up-and-comers, and we try to get as many interviews as possible, get some good video content up there, you know, show the personalities of these bands that a lot of people might not have heard of.
Awesome. I like them. Bastille, I like them. Who else we got coming up on the show?
Oh, we got some more. We'll get to those when we they'll be nice little surprises.
All right. Now our next segment here, it's a new one, as they all are, on our second show. News trivia brought to us by, again, Jake the Snake Cranny. Jake the Snake, take it away.
All right. Well, our friends over at CNN, I've compiled some of our top headlines from that website for this week's news trivia. So we've got four different categories of headlines from CNN. We've got U.S., world, entertainment, and health. So one category at a time, I will read four of the top headlines from that category for the week. And you two will have to decide which one I made up. And there are three that are actually real CNN headlines, and I made one up. Okay. So you guys have to decide which one I made up.
I'm looking forward to this.
Okay. All right. You guys, any questions before we get started?
No, I just want to let you know that our fan base right now is skyrocketing. I'm not kidding. They love news trivia.
Did it go from 3 to 4?
We flashed up your headshot. So,
beautiful. Okay,
good. Strong male audience.
All right. Yeah. So let's go ahead and get started here. Starting off with the top headlines.
Okay.
And these are in no particular order. I just numbered them so that you guys can guess.
Okay.
So this is from the U.S. section this week. Number one, Cookie Monster arrested for shoving toddler. Number two.
Wait. Sorry, does that have to do... Never mind. Go ahead.
Number two, MMA fighter suspended for disgusting freak comment.
Okay.
Number three, former aide to Margaret Thatcher planning inflammatory tell-all. Number four, Rick Pitino was scared to death by confetti explosions.
Okay, because I know that... Okay, I can't give it away.
The Pitino one is real because I remember seeing him ducking, and I talked to you about that, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so what are your guesses here for the one that I made up?
I'm going to go with the Cookie Monster because I know that's what you call your penis.
What was the second one?
The second one was MMA fighter suspended for disgusting freak comment.
I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. Well, both of you are 0-1.
Oh,
the one that I made up was the Margaret Thatcher aide planning an inflammatory tell-all. The Cookie Monster thing was completely real. MMA fighter was real. Rick Pitino was obviously real.
That's funny. Wow. I guess there's no need to like write that after she died. They were writing that like while she was alive.
Right.
Still,
yeah,
so.
Pretty much.
All right.
All right. So nobody on the board yet. Let's go to the world section.
Nobody on the board. I just feel like this is the Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL right here.
Oh, yeah. I just aim to be Alex Trebek. That's my future. The world section. Number one, bird flu scare spread in China.
Mm.
Number two, Iranian playwright jailed after pro-American performance. Number three, Korean nuke conflict may make Chernobyl look like a fairy tale. Number four, Saudi Arabia denies man was sentenced to be paralyzed surgically.
Wow.
I don't know. Those
this one's
could
tough.
Be real.
This one's tough.
I'm going to go that last one. That seems a bit outrageous.
Paralyzed
for Saudi Arabia.
I'm going to go C. Can we just go like number, like we're ordering from McDonald's?
Yeah, just go numbers. Yeah. Order a Big Mac.
I'm going to go see the Korea one, right?
He's doing the whole numbers thing when you guys switch to letters. That's fine. So you're going to go Korean nuke conflict, and you're going to go Saudi Arabia.
Saudi. Give me Saudi.
And we are completely missing both of these. Off again, the one that I made up was the Iranian playwright jailed after a pro-American performance. The other two are completely real. Again, we are 0-4, I guess 4 now.
Oh, wow.
Between the two of you.
You know what? At this, I do want to, I don't know if we will get any callers, but callers, if you do want to dial us at 800-893-9562, that's 800-893-9562 right here in the Skid Row Studios. If you want to go ahead and jump in on this news trivia game, we'd love to have you as well. So go ahead.
Absolutely. And I feel good. I feel like it's going well because I'm stumping you because you generally have a pretty good grasp on the stuff that comes out of my juvenile brain.
Yeah, yeah. You're good, man. You're on fire tonight.
All right. So we're 2 down, 2 to go. So we're going to lighten things up now with some entertainment headlines.
Okay.
Number one, Mel Gibson planning intensive research on Scientology. Number two, Russell Brand, victim of swatting prank. Number three, Alec Baldwin's for sale. Number four, Ray J claims new song, I Hit It First, isn't about Kim Kardashian.
I think I'm going to get this one right. I think it's number two.
Russell Brand, victim of swatting prank?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm torn between A and D. I'm going to go D. I think the Kim Kardashian one. Is that right?
I'm very, very pleased to announce that both of you are still scoreless.
Jesus.
Oh, man.
It was the first one, wasn't it?
It was the Mel Gibson one. Yep, absolutely. All right. So last question. We're going to see if either of you can get on the board or else we are going to end in a very boring soccer-like scoreless draw
Callers, Jake will give away a headshot if you get this last one right, okay? So feel free. We'll give it an extra minute. Well, not a minute, but we'll give it a little extra time if you want to call in and try to get this one right.
I think the phone lines are actually jammed because so many people are calling.
Is that what it is?
Okay. I hope I know how to answer phones if they do. So,
all right. So last question. This is from the health category. And all headlines from the health category this week are baby related. So you have four baby related health headlines to choose from. Number one. More women getting pregnant after 40. Number two, rancid breast milk linked to Pennsylvania hospital visits.
Wow.
Number three, baby food makers sued for not warning about lead. And number four, baby's herpes linked to circumcision practice.
You had fun with this game, didn't you?
I absolutely did have fun with this.
All right. The herpes, that's just too low-hanging. Yeah, I don't think you would go there. That's a little too dark. give us that look. No, I'll do it.
Rancid breast
milk. I blog about baby's herpes all the time.
I'm going to go rancid breast milk.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go with that too, actually.
You got to go something different, though. All right.
Give me the baby herpes.
Give me the baby herpes.
I'll take baby herpes for 500, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, our winner, who actually scored one correct answer of these, Mr. Justin Cross with the rancid breast milk. No rancid breast milk.
We got a call. Oh, hold on. Oh, geez.
Got a caller?
How do we answer
technology.
That?
Justin can't handle this.
I'm ready. All right. All right, you're live on Skid Row Studio or on the Sarcastic News Show at Skid Row Studios. Who are we talking to?
This is Josh.
Hey.
Oh, no. Hello, Josh.
Josh from where are you calling from, Josh?
Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right, we have an Austin follower.
All right, very good.
What did you think about the last segment there, the news trivia game? Did you get any right on your own?
Yeah, we got one right. We got which one did we get? We got two right, on our own. We were enjoying the game.
Oh, really?
So let me take this opportunity to detract the Justin Cross Winner's Trophy and present it to you, Josh. Good work.
I don't know, though. He had a team supporting him. Apparently, there are multiple people.
Yeah, there's more than one person there. That's
well,
not fair.
You guys are more than one person.
Are we a team?
Oh, man. Which ones did you guys get right?
It was the... which one did we get right? Rancid milk.
Why do I have the feeling that you didn't get these right?
Rancid milk and Mel Gibson.
Oh, okay. Good work. Okay. Good work, Josh.
All right. Well, Josh, we appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much for
listening
on the Sarcastic News Show. Before we leave, Josh, do you have any thoughts as far as what our next game is going to be, or our next segment with Michael Lorenzo Porter is going to be about? Do you have any idea what it could be about?
Something with sports would be my guess.
You're off, actually. It's something with movies, actually.
Good guess, though.
Yeah, Michael Porter's going to do...
That's a real good guess.
Yeah, he's going to do a review on Roger Ebert's death. So if you're listening, stay tuned to that. Josh, thanks so much for calling in Austin, Texas.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one. All right.
That was great.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah, I have no idea who that guy was. All right. Well, Snake, I loved it. I loved the news trivia.
Good.
Awesome.
Yeah. We'll keep doing that segment.
Awesome.
As long as CNN keeps churning out headlines like Cookie Monster arrested for shoving toddler, we'll keep doing that segment.
Oh, man. Well, guys, stay tuned right here on the Sarcastic News show. Right coming up, we have Groupthink. Hopefully, our producer, Matt Sugar Mills, will be calling in to weigh on some of the heavy issues of the past week. Stay tuned right here on Sarcastic News. And we're back here on the Sarcastic News Show. Jake the Snake, who was that?
That was Fitz and the Tantrums. Brand new song called Spark. Really good song.
Good stuff right there. All right. We are going to, this is our segment called Groupthink. And we are going to talk, we're going to start the segment talking about gun control. We should have our very own producer, Matt Sugar Mills, calling in just a minute. But let's go ahead and get started here. Talking about gun control. On Wednesday, Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Republican Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania set the stage for a Senate debate on gun control by agreeing on a deal that would force background checks on gun buyers, which, due to a current loophole, allows an estimated 40% of gun buyers to avoid checks. I want to know, what do you guys think? Do you guys think this is a bipartisan agreement? You know, that could actually put public pressure, you know, or that one that actually could be affected from the Newtown shootings and could actually help make a deal happen. Will we see real gun control laws being put into effect because of this?
I mean, I certainly hope so. I think, you know, the universal background checks seem like something that's such basic common sense that I feel like there might be some bipartisan, you know, agreement on that. But otherwise, the Senate and the House are so like fractured and split that it's going to be tough. Like, especially when you're talking about a ban, like an actual ban on assault rifles, mm-hmm. that's going to be a difficult thing to accomplish. I think it's more like we would hope for magazine restrictions and stuff like that, but not so much an entire ban of it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Jake. I think, you know, making it tougher to get them is a big first step. But as far as an outright ban, I don't know how
it's going to be tough.
That's going to be very, very difficult. But like you said, you know,
yeah, I mean, I feel
check
like
is a great
I
thing.
Don't feel like it's going to happen, but I mean, it's so hard because I feel like it's our government's so fractured that you almost, it's, you know, even something that's kind of symbolic and it may result in something that's watered down. You got it. You want to feel positive about it, but I'm a little torn.
You got to remain hopeful.
Yeah.
My plan would be to increase the cost of bullets to $500 per bullet. So you can give them the guns, but you're going to have to be rich to shoot it.
I like it. Well, joining us, our producer from San Diego, or actually he's live in San Diego, I think at a Padres game. Is that right, Matt Nasty?
Yes. The infamous Padres, the San Diego Padres.
Yeah. Are you eating ice cream out of a small plastic baseball helmet?
I am. It's actually a Dave Winfield baseball helmet.
That's awesome.
It's acceptable.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a perfect venue to talk about gun control.
Yeah, it is. No. But I have been listening in, and
what do you think?
Should I just jump in?
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, do you think that the agreement between Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, you know, a Democrat and a Republican, is that really going to go anywhere for real gun control laws, or is it sort of just basically symbolic?
Well, I mean, there are two things at play. You know, you have the Newtown families. They've been at the halls of Congress, really kind of getting in there, and they've been the face of the gun control legislation. And then on the other side, really, the forces that you have is the NRA. Mm-hmm. And really, you have to remember that the NRA, the reason why they're so against it, it's not because they think that they have the better solution. It's really because they just want to, they're lobbyists for the gun lobby and for the gun industry. And they just, their goal is just to make them money.
Money, 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 money.
So do you
so
think...
So if you have
money.
The base... Yeah. I mean, so... Really, if you just have, I think in this case, heart is going to triumph over the wallet.
Mm-hmm. And well, and do you think? I mean, do you think that we'll see an assault weapons ban, or you know, maybe just shirts to say, you know, like were they going to outlaw shirts to say "Welcome to the Gun Show" with arrows pointing to the biceps? Like, what's coming out of this?
I'm going to have to get a new wardrobe if that's the case.
Yeah, you will not take your hands off that shirt.
Yeah. Well, actually,
I own four of them.
Jake has a shirt that says "The Man, the Legend," and the man with an arrow pointing up, and the legend with an arrow pointing down.
Right,
damn straight.
That's pretty appropriate.
Or a legendary belly button.
But do you think there's more that comes out of this, you know, than just a background check? Do you think you see the assault weapons ban that was in place back up until about 2006 or 2004, or what do you think?
I mean, I think with the assault weapons ban, I think that's going to be a little bit difficult. Only because now the argument has moved so far to the right mm-hmm. that any restriction is just going to get met from the Republicans from the right side with such resistance and force. I'm encouraged to hear about the agreements on the background checks. You know, I think the gun show loopholes and the internet loopholes, that's a good start. But we'll see. We'll see about with the assault weapons ban. Again, I just think it's, you have these gun makers and their representatives of the states where they have it. But I will give a shout out to my home state, Connecticut. I was pretty proud of them for what they did last week. And I think that could hopefully become a model for the government reform and for other states as well. I think ultimately it's going to become more of a state issue.
Yeah. And they were the first state, just so the listeners at home know, they were the first state, is that right, Matt, to, what was it? There's the strictest gun laws now in the country, right? In Connecticut.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah. So it's the first time I'm proud to call myself a nutmegger.
How much of that is because of Sandy Hook? Like, does that have to happen everywhere for us to, you know, finally wake up?
I hope not. I mean, I know that somebody had said, you know, what's really terrifying or what the real solution to wake everybody up is that they would need to release photos. I mean, that's the only way. Yeah. Because unless it hits home, you know, you see this not just with the gun control issue, but with the gay marriage issue as well, what we were talking about, you know, you have...
Wait, people need to see photos? Sorry.
Well, no. I mean, you need to make it so that it's visceral, so that it hits close to home. Right. And I really hope that that's not the solution.
Yeah.
But at times, I don't know how else to get people's attention.
Sure. And I mean, that's to your point. I mean, that's, you know, harking back to Vietnam, for instance, like they would show images on TV. And I think that's
right.
You know, it goes a lot further, and, you know, sadly, unfortunately. But I want to go ahead and, I mean, we could obviously go on forever about that, but I want to move on real quick to Margaret Thatcher. Now, none of us are from England. But do you guys think it's a bad... I love that segue. All right, so Margaret Thatcher. None of us are from England, but do you guys think that it's a bad thing that the country was actually... that the UK was actually split over her death in a lot of ways? Like, you know, she died and there are actually people out there celebrating. Like, it... I mean, I understand there's, you know, a lot that you could disagree with on her policies, but it wasn't Saddam Hussein or Bin Laden. Like, she wasn't a dictator or a terrorist. Like, is that a good thing or a bad thing that citizens were celebrating her death? And I don't mean that, like, of course it's not a good thing, but I mean, how do you guys reconcile that?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, if you die, and this is going to sound maybe a little crazy, and everyone loved you, what did you really do? Or if everyone hated you, what did you accomplish? Obviously not a lot of good. To see that people were split, I think is kind of interesting. It shows that, you know, she did affect a lot of people. I mean, I don't know too many people that if they died, I'd be dancing in the streets, but, you know, she had an effect on people.
Yeah, it was an interesting, like, split reaction. Some of my favorite signs, by the way, people were making signs and dancing in the street. Mm-hmm. The Iron Lady, ? Rust in peace. And then simply the bitch is dead.
What?
And so, you know, I think as tasteless as those signs are, like, if
it
you're...
It does showcase the UK dry humor.
Yes, it does. I mean, yeah. You know, if you're a controversial figure, you're going to get people on both sides of the fence. And I mean, like you mentioned at the top, Justin, like many people claim that she like devastated the working class of the UK, and you know, she caused a housing crisis and a banking crisis and that stuff. And mm-hmm. You know, I just think it's not necessarily a great thing to be dancing in the streets. Like, I think you have to kind of be a little more respectful to her family members that are now grieving with this. And I think if you're happy that she's dead, that's fine. You may not agree with her policies, but be happy about it in private.
Right.
Like,
right.
Don't go, you know, toasting champagne in the streets like you just won the World Series.
Right. That was pretty odd. You got any thoughts on that, Matt Nasty?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would think about it is, let's say George W. Bush were to pass away at some point. You know, I think you would get sort of some of the similar reaction, but, you know, we're seeing it currently right now. You see with Obama, you see all this hate speech and people calling him Hitler, and they have all these signs, and that bothers a lot of people, and it's not right. I agree. I think it's just not an effective way to show your displeasure for somebody. I mean, get more active, get involved, make the change yourselves now instead of worrying about what somebody did 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And in turning to America this week, Representative Anthony Weiner from New York, I'm in sixth grade.
Beavis and Butthead
yeah,
hour.
Yeah. The married man, the married man who took pictures of his junk and then texted it to at least six women over Twitter, announced that he may run for mayor of New York City. With Wiener, the former South Carolina governor, Mark Sanford, who had lied about infidelities and now is married to his former mistress, along with guys like former New York Governor Elliot Spitzer, who was having sex with a high-end prostitute. All these people trying and being somewhat successful in making comebacks into politics. What do you guys, I mean, it's literally like what's wrong with us? Like, how are these people able, I mean, they do these things and then they come back in to politics. I don't know, maybe because they couldn't find another job besides CNN if you're Elliot Spitzer. But like, but we vote for him. Like, apparently we forgive and forget really quickly. I mean, is there a line on this stuff? Is it that these folks were, you know, was infidelity and that's not a huge deal here? Like, what's the deal?
It's just frustrating. I think it has a lot to do with, like, you asked the question, what's wrong with us? We live in an era where we get news shoveled at us 24/7. And so, you know, 2 weeks after a story like this breaks, we forget about it and we move on. And then, you know, 2 months later, he's got his PR teams like, oh, he's completely rehabilitated. So let's, you know, you can vote for him now. And then we just forget so easily.
Yeah,
I'm going to agree with that. I think we have an oversaturation of, you know, just news and just we're inundated with stuff. And then we tend to forget, like, how bad these people are.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I don't know how bad it is, you know. I mean, infidelity is obviously, it's infidelity. It's not great, but it's wrong, but at the same time, like, is that something where they can't go have another job? I don't know.
It's definitely a line where that's like they can still be successful at their jobs, but just be like an asshole and you know, personally.
Should they be trusted?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bill Clinton's a fantastic example of that, you know.
I mean, well, it'll be interesting to see how Wiener does in the next direction. I mean, election.
Count it.
Did you write that one?
No,
you wrote that one, didn't you?
I read the New York Post. I'm not going to lie. I steal that from them. I'll give them credit where credit is due. But, you know, it's funny. It's because I think a lot of us, we grew up in the Clinton era when that whole scandal was going down. And it's so funny. It's like when you look back at history, and I look back, I mean, I remember when that was such a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, I remember I grew up in a household where I remember my mom was like, oh, how could he and all that stuff. But now I look back and I'm like, how did that affect his job as president? It didn't. It was ridiculous. And the whole fact that he was impeached and all that, it's absurd. And it really cost him a couple of years of really good governing. And I think that's what sometimes gets lost is that, you know, Elliot Spitzer is a really good public servant. He did a lot of good for the state of New York. And I think, you know, Anthony Weiner made one bad mistake, especially in an age when everything is out in public. But that's not how people should be judged. It should be on their public record.
Yeah. Well, with that said, Matt Nassy, thank you very much for joining us live from Petco Field in San Diego.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Enjoy the Padres scoring 1.5 runs in like a 14-inning extravaganza of boredom.
Oh, no. The most excitement was at the lineup announcement, I think.
One of the most boring baseball teams
ever. What's the score right now, Matt?
You know what? I wouldn't even know.
You're too drunk.
I've been too busy looking at the other.
It's 2-0 Dodgers, by the way.
Attractive Padres fans, the other ladies here.
Uh-huh, so. That's great. All right, well, Matt Nassy, thanks a lot for joining us. And we will be right back with a special segment from Michael Lorenzo Porter on Roger Ebert's death right here on Sarcastic News.
You should know that I don't wanna be friends. She said, I don't wanna be a friend. She said, I don't wanna be a friend. Well, baby, I don't ever wanna see. You see, I notice your type. I cheat and know it ain't right. You want revenge with no forgiveness, but I don't think it's fair.
And we're back on the Sarcastic News Show. Real quick shout out to Jeremy and Nick in the back working the audio. These guys are awesome.
What up? Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. It's funny. I had a friend who's listening to the show, and she goes, is that your brother, Jeff Cross? And I go, yeah, it is. but these guys are awesome. They make it very easy for us. Now, I do want to talk real quick about our next segment. I'm very excited about this. As you know, I'm not excited about Roger Ebert's death, but I am excited about the next segment with Michael Porter, which is it's going to be a review on Roger Ebert's death. Porter, go ahead and take it away.
Thanks, Cross. Just want to say a few words here. Prepared a little statement for him. Used to love watching Siskel and Ebert as a kid. Used to rush my mom home from the grocery store because it was almost 6:30, and we just had to watch Siskel and Ebert. So here goes. I'm going to review Roger Ebert's death. A pundit, film historian, film critic, Pulitzer Prize winner, and even more than all these things, Roger Ebert was America's most beloved asshole. He could tell you why you needed to see a film you not only had never heard of, but once you had, you surely had no intention of seeing. Ebert had a penchant for not holding back when it came to films he deemed artistically inept or morally repugnant. His four-star rating system became famous and part of our culture. We've all asked friends what they gave a movie on a scale of numbers. Roger is also the only critic to have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He was a religious man as well, and he was not one for poor use of religion for cheap thrills, which should go a long way in explaining his reviews of movies like Stigmata and Priest. He did deliver favorable reviews for films that deal with religious subject matters, such as The Passion of the Christ and Kevin Smith's Dogma. He had his fair share of controversy, too. He once referred to Bam Margera's friend Ryan Dunn, who had recently died in an automobile accident, as a jackass. After director Vincent Gallo caught wind of an unfavorable review of his film, The Brown Bunny, where Chloe Sevigny performs unsimulated fellatio, he said that Roger Ebert had the physique of a slave trader and called him a fat pig. Ebert retorted with this, "One day I will be thin and you will still be the director of The Brown Bunny." Gallo has since edited his film, much to the delight of Roger Ebert, who actually gave the film his patented thumbs up after the edit. Sadly, his sense of wit and biting remarks will no longer grace the pages of our Sunday Times or our internet web browsers. If we want to read his reviews, the archives will have to do. Cancer 1, Roger Ebert 0. I give his death 2 thumbs firmly down.
That's Michael Warren's reporter.
That was touching.
With a review of Roger Ebert's death. We'll be right back on the Sarcastic News Show. Snake. Who is that?
Who was that? That was the 1975.
Awesome.
Another British band. Really like that song. Really like them in general.
Love it. Well, before we bring up our next guest, I just want to say you can catch us on sarcasticnews.com, sarcastic-news.com, or facebook.com/sarcasticnews1, or twitter.com/sarcasticnews2. We're up almost to 2,000 followers on Twitter. Very exciting. Very exciting. And you can download us on iTunes or go to skidrow.com. If you miss, well, I guess you're listening now. You may not want to listen back. But anyway, coming up, I'm very excited about this next guest. He's a brewmaster and beer savant. He's calling in from Venice, California. Is he with us? Chris Boley, are you on the line?
Gentlemen, good evening.
Hey.
Oh, Boley. Man, beer master. You're not supposed to act like you know him, Border. You're supposed to say, oh, my gosh, Chris Boley. No,
what is the difference between a beer savant and a drunk?
Oof, it's a very blurry line, especially after 10 beers.
I got to ask you to begin with, Mr. Boley, Bud Light or Coors Light? Bud Light or Coors Light?
Ooh, I'd have to be a Coors man. I mean, you can't go wrong with those nicknames. The Silver Bullet, Banquet Beer. I got to be sticking with Coors there.
Of course, you got a Silver Bullet, and you're going to tap the Rockies.
And you can't argue with the commercials either when you're watching it, and Pete Coors just emerges from the woods somewhere outside of Golden, Colorado.
I just got done from polluting the rivers. I'm Pete Coors.
Yeah. No, it shoots into him, and he's like taking a leak on a tree in the woods. So, yeah, I'm Pete Coors.
Oh man, now I do know Boley. I know Boley for a long time, but I got to call him Chris. On this. No, whatever. I'll call him Boley. Boley, you've been brewing beer. The reason why I want you on, you've been brewing beer for a number of years. I know our audience is, as Snake kind of alluded to, alcoholics, and but you've been brewing beer for a number of years now. You've attended many craft breweries and tastings throughout the world. You know, you've gotten drunk on several college campuses. I know that for a fact. But on a serious note, in the history of beer drinking, where are we at exactly?
Ooh, we're pretty far into it. although you have to clarify what type of beer you're talking about, because you know we've got your ales and you've got your lagers.
Yeah.
So you know, ales have been around for centuries and centuries. You know, since the beginning of time, almost really. I mean, some people will say that that beer is actually one of the main reasons why society shifted from like hunter gatherers into like the civilization community based society that we are today, because people wanted to settle down and grow barley and grains, not only for bread but for beer as well. So ales have been around for a long, long time, and then you've got lagers, which have only been around for not even like 200 years. I think the type of yeast that they use in lagers was discovered in like 1830 or 40 or something like that. So, So for ales, you know, we've been barking up that tree for a long, long time. But lagers are still relatively new. So.
When were the ingredients for Smirnoff Ice discovered?
That was 2003 in my college dorm.
Oh goodness!
And boy, you know, for the average person who just doesn't know beer that well, or they drink Bud, Coors, like whatever, I want to know, like, what exactly is craft beer? Like, how would you describe craft beer to somebody who's kind of new to drinking?
Well, so
listen up, kids.
Craft beer is typically made at smaller, you know, breweries versus like your Anheuser-Busch or Miller or Coors or something like that. So these are typically smaller breweries that are producing, you know, a limited number of kegs or barrels each year, and they're also experimenting with a lot of different types of flavors and different types of beer outside of just you know, sort of your typical more standard American ales and lagers that, you know, most people drink and most people are used to. So it's really based on sort of the volume of beer being output, and then the types of beer. Well,
what are would you say some of your favorite craft breweries?
Ooh, good question. I'd say Deschutes up in Bend, Oregon would definitely be very close to the top of my list. They put out a lot of good beers. They have a white IPA called Chainbreaker, which is fantastic. Mm.
What's a white IPA for the listeners?
Oh, white IPA. So white IPA is it's an India Pale Ale as an IPA, and then they take that and they sort of combine it with a wheat beer, basically. So, you know, a lot of people will drink an IPA and say, it's a little too hoppy, a little too bitter. So when they combine it with the wheat beer, it sort of plays down that bitterness a little bit, and you end up with a nice sort of combination of a little bit of bitterness, but also that sort of clean, crisp taste that you get with the wheat beers. So it's sort of the best of both worlds.
I just want to know why Deschutes had to bring the race card into the whole thing. Now, if people...
Hey, they have a black IPA as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Porter chimed up there. If people, I'm wondering this, boy, because you've been brewing your own beer for what, 3 or 4 years now. Like, if somebody's new to it, like, where do they start? Like, how do they start? What would you suggest?
Well, I mean, it depends on how serious they think they want to get. I mean, if they don't know if they're going to really like it or not, and they just want to sort of give it a shot, then, I mean, they can probably go out and buy, like, one of those Mr. Beer kits. Which basically comes with everything you need to brew. I think it's a gallon typically, which is obviously a pretty small amount to start out with, but it's good just to sort of get your feet wet and see if you like the process or not. So if you're kind of unsure, then I'd suggest going that route. If you are definitely wanting to get into it as a hobby and do it long term, then you can go to a local beer supply store and get set up with like a big brewing pot and a fermenter and a siphon and like all the equipment you need. And the setup costs aren't too bad. I mean, you can get set up with a pretty good situation there for probably about $150-$160.
What's the most difficult part of the process?
Of the brewing process?
Yeah.
It's probably getting the boil started, because when you brew it, you're in essence boiling this big mixture of ingredients for an extended period of time. Like, yeah, you guys have heard of the brewery Dogfish Head, I assume.
Yeah.
So they've got a couple different beers. They have a 60-minute IPA, a 90-minute IPA. I think they even have a 120-minute IPA. Mm. And those time frames refer to the amount of time that you're actually boiling this big mixture of ingredients. Yeah. So that process of getting that boil going and maintaining that can be a little tricky, actually, and it can also be messy, because if you allow that mixture to boil over, then it's just one of the biggest disasters you can even imagine. It's basically a big pot of syrup spilling out into your kitchen.
Interesting. Now,
yeah, it's not a pleasant scene.
Now, boy, are you currently brewing anything right now at home?
I actually just kegged a blueberry pale ale, which I tasted today, and I think came out pretty good.
The three of us are coming over, by the way,
right away.
<That's good stuff.
laughs> Well, you better hurry up. I'm going to kick this keg in about 2 hours. So. and then I've also got an Imperial IPA in secondary fermentation right now. So that'll be ready to drink in about 2 weeks, I'd say.
Wow, interesting. And lastly, I just want to, again, just give us a shout out to like any beers that you would suggest. Like, people are, you know, listening to this right now. What beers would you suggest for the newbies out there, like craft beers that you like?
Let's see. Well, one of the craft breweries I'm really into right now is Lagunitas, which is a Northern California brewery. And they have a lot of good beers. In fact, they just came out with a limited release beer called Tango Wilco Foxtrot. And it is delicious. It's sort of like a red IPA type situation. But I think it's the perfect combination of maltiness and hoppiness. So, you know, you've got the people who like sort of the sweeter beers, people who like the hoppier beers, and I think this one is a nice mix sort of in between there. So,
Sounds good.
Then they've got a bunch of other good ones as well. So I'd say definitely check out Lagunitas.
Okay.
I'd say, you know, there's so many good breweries on the West Coast, but it's exciting because there's breweries popping up now, you know, pretty much everywhere. Like, the East Coast is getting good breweries, and, you know, Texas and some parts in the South are getting good breweries. So it's, you know, it's pretty exciting to be a beer brewer right about now.
Yeah. Well, Bully, that's all the time, unfortunately, we have here. I'd love to keep talking, but thank you so much for joining us. Brewmaster and beer savant Chris Bully, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
We'll see you guys over here in about 2 hours.
All right. And we'll be right back here on the Sarcastic News Show. right, and we're back here. Sorry about the dead air, guys. I thought we had one more musical track there, but we didn't, so that's okay. That's okay, guys. I really appreciate you joining us here. This is the second ever Sarcastic News show. I talked about a lot of good stuff today. Next week, we have somebody coming in from LA Weekly. We'll be in the house to talk a little news and politics with us. Looking forward to that show. I want to give a big shout-out to Matt Nasty joining us from the Padres game. Jake the St. Craney from Ground Sounds. Sarcastic News contributor Michael Lorenzo Porter. Chris Bowley, brewmaster and beer savant Chris Bowley, for joining us. And for you guys for listening and downloading this. You guys have been listening to the Sarcastic News Show right here on Skid Row Studios in the heart of the Krakow District. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good one.
See, I've been here for 28 years, patterns spread beneath these wheels, tattooed lines beneath our skin, no surrender, my Bobby Jean.